our presenters is that one of the things that they're recommending is that when U.S. history is taught, teachers will be given Iowa examples, like on the Civil Rights Movement, where you'll have live examples of what happened here in the state of Iowa, or Underground Railroad, or so many different things that are part of American history. The Civil War, I'm impressed with the important role that Iowans played, and Governor Kirkwood, of course, personally recruited a lot of the soldiers, and Governor Merrill actually donated the uniforms for some of the soldiers, and then donated his pension to help with some of the wounded soldiers from the war. So there's some just great Iowa examples that are part of American history that we want to make sure are included in the material. Other questions on this subject or other subjects you want to ask? Yes.
Thanks, Barbara. Good question. So the governor had pulled together this advisory council, and we applaud him for that effort. And it just so happened that we learned about this federal grant opportunity, and it happened really fast. It was essentially at the beginning of the summer. We rallied around with the Department of Education, pulled it together, got letters of support from the congressional delegation, and we found out just a few weeks ago, literally. So it was coincidental, but again, a great opportunity to now be more collaborative in terms of how do we best implement these recommendations in a collaborative way, now having essentially an online tool for teachers to provide greater access to Iowa history.
Other questions? Yes, I am. I'm going to Atlanta on economic development calls. So for the next 2 days, I'm going to be in Atlanta. And obviously, the companies we call on in these trips are confidential. You may know that I was recently, along with Debbie Durham, in Bentonville, Arkansas. And we called on both Walmart and Tyson. And it was really interesting in my meeting. We met with the young president of Walmart, and I told him last time I flew into Bentonville, Sam Walton personally met me at the airport, and I went quail hunting with him. But he said, well, if he'd have known that, he would have personally met me at the airport. But at any rate, I think these calls are important, and I've done this throughout my tenure as governor, and they've led to some good things happening. And having personal contact with the decision makers in many of these companies. And the companies we're calling on, some of them already have operations in Iowa, so we're encouraging them to expand and grow in the state.
Is Atlanta good picking because it's so hard to travel? I mean, the commute that's the number one commute time.
Atlanta?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good, I wasn't even aware of that, so thank you for giving me that information. but one of the benefits we do have in Iowa is very short commute time, and we don't have the congestion and the cost of living that are true in a lot of other places in the country. The companies I'm calling on, I think, already have operations in Iowa, and there may be some others as well, but the primary ones I'm calling on already have operations here, and we're basically encouraging them to continue to grow in Iowa. Yes, Bill?
Sir, I wanted to ask you about the pipeline. You know, there are 30 people arrested up in Boone last week. People are saying that they're vehemently against it. They say that protests are going to continue. I wanted to ask your reaction to the fact that people are actively doing civil disobedience, trying to stop the pipeline, and the fact that a lot of them are saying that they're blaming you and saying that you directed the Iowa Utilities Board to do this. You have a lot of ties to Texas, the rich Texas oilmen. There's a woman
this is kind of laughable, because there's probably nobody that big oil hates more than me. I am the strongest advocate for renewable energy, and Iowa leads the country in renewable energy, and I have consistently gone after big oil and the misinformation, the lies they've told about ethanol throughout. So there's nobody that is a stronger advocate or is more vehement about the need for renewable energy and has been an advocate for ethanol throughout and continues. In fact, I have pointed out that it was big oil that told the people in the East Coast and the West Coast the lie that ETBE was better than ethanol. And you know, it poisoned the groundwater, and they finally had to abandon MTBE and ban it. And then we got the renewable fuel standard, which now we want to continue to grow the share of our fuel that comes from renewables. But we don't expect that 100% of the motor fuel will be renewable. We do understand and we do appreciate the fact that we're seeing more production, both natural gas and oil now in the United States. That's one of the reasons why we have these two fertilizer plants being built, because the biggest cost of producing nitrogen energy is natural gas. Because of fracking, the cost of that in America has gone down, and we now have lower costs for manufacturing, and we're able to have fertilizer plants built here. With regard to the pipeline, this decision was handled through the normal process. I did not take a position on it. I said it's a decision that would be made by the utilities board. The utilities board, I think, was very thoughtful and very deliberative. They held hearings in every county. They spent a lot of time. They carefully researched it and made the decision that this was in the best interest to approve it. And it has strong support among a lot of the working people in building and construction trades in our state. I understand there's a few people, and most of the landowners have been very willing to sign easements and have this cross their property. And in fact, they are being very well compensated. And they'll still be able to use the land once the pipeline is put in place. So I think the process has been reasonable and fair. They've exhausted all of their judicial remedies, and they've lost. I think we need to respect the process and the decision making that's been made. As a governor, I really only have a role of appointing the citizens that serve on the utilities board. And I don't always agree with the decisions they make, but I respect the process and the decisions they've made, and I believe that it's important that we not interfere with the rights of the workers that are building the pipeline.
Do these protesters go home?
What's that?
Do these protesters go home?
Well, I'm not going to tell people what to do, and it's just important that people abide by the law and they not endanger themselves or the workers that are working on the pipeline. Well, as you know, we have very restrictive laws on the use of eminent domain. And the utility board has followed through and made the decisions on those. So I understand that you're never going to please everybody, but the vast majority of the landowners feel that they were treated fairly and appropriately compensated for the use of their land. Oh, come on. I raised a lot more money from Iowa farmers and ethanol producers and people that are interested in wind energy and other things. Yes, I did get some support from my friend Brick Perry, who was a great governor and did a wonderful job of attracting business and jobs to Texas. And I think we can learn from each other. And I appreciate the support that he gave me. But it had nothing to do with oil. No. 5.1 is what I understand. This is what David Roeder told me this morning. But revenue so far, the first 2 months, is basically flat. And that's because of what the EPA has done to the price of corn. Because they have not maintained the robust renewable fuel standard, and we've got a large crop out there, the price of corn, now this is the third year in a row. We had good prices up until the fall of 2013. But ever since, when the EPA created uncertainty and then reduced the renewable fuel standard below what the Congress intended, it's driven the price of corn below. And the last I knew, it was down below $3 a bushel here in Iowa. That's well below the cost of production. The result is not only a loss to farmers, but we have not seen the growth and expansion of our ethanol plants, and we're seeing a reduction in jobs in farm machinery manufacturing. Companies like John Deere and their suppliers, and companies like Kinsey Manufacturing. Now, I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about the impact that it's had on our state's economy, and I want to do everything I can to restore a strong renewable fuel standard, and that's one of the reasons why I think this presidential election is critically important. We need an EPA that is not going to work against farmers and not going to impose things like Waters of the U.S. and not enforce the congressional intent under the renewable fuel standard.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
They're Jim back, so that's why we're wrapping up here.